As always, it is my pleasure that you join me for today's podcast of Second Chance Coaching. My name is Dr. Richard Lewis. If you'd be so kind as to leave me a rating and your feedback, I would very much appreciate it, and it will help others like you to optimally discover this podcast wherever you listen to this and your other favorite podcast. As you know, at Second Chance Coaching, we focus on seeing everyday life through the eyes of the returning citizen and highlighting the resiliency of the human spirit. I would love to work with you one-on-one, whether you're a returning citizen or coaching client seeking your second chance, or you're a representative of a business, college, or university seeking to integrate and support returning citizens in your respective organizational and learning environments. Please feel free to contact me via email at richard@secondchancecoaching.com or via Instagram at @drrichardlewis. Welcome again to another edition of Second Chance Coaching. As always, it is my pleasure to join you on another week of your reentry journey from whichever corner of the world you're listening from. We always remained humbled and excited that you've decided to spend part of your week with us. I apologize for being so late this week, coming out on Friday. The convergence of the long-term semester class schedules and the short-term semester class schedules and collaborating with other professors. We were doing a lot of collaboration with our classes, in addition to the Faculty Senate talks that we were hosting this week, in addition to meetings with our union that are doing a lot of innovative and great things with our collective bargaining negotiations. It really kind of all was a tsunami that kind of all met in the middle. But we made sure that we were having our 23rd episode of season 5 definitely come out this week. Definitely those of you and those of us who are celebrating Easter this weekend, I want to wish you a very happy, healthy, and glorious and blessed Easter. So certainly I know I look forward to seeing all of my friends and family putting on their Easter outfits and going to church and celebrating Resurrection Sunday. So certainly looking forward to that. And once again, happy Easter to everyone. I was looking at our listenership statistics and I saw a dramatic uptick in our listenership from the state of Washington. So I want to thank you so much to our brothers and sisters in the state of Washington. So far, you have the highest listenership of this podcast in the United States in the month of March. And based on how far away you guys are, you probably guys will definitely be taking that title by the time the month is over, which is only in a few days. I have a special affection for the state of Washington as my late cousin Moses Jr. made his home there for many years, for the many last years of his life. His wife, his widow, lives there as well. And my little cousin, you know, his daughter, who is a little lady, you know, now lives there as well. I can't call her a little girl anymore. She's a little lady. You know, she's about to graduate high school next year. So I'm excited to see her journey as well. And I'll definitely have to come and see my cousin soon and see y'all sooner. And I'm sure that you guys contributed to the listenership that we had this month. So I thank my cousins very much and certainly thank my brothers and sisters in the state of Washington. The rounding out of our top three states of listenership in the United States for the month of March, of course, number one starts with the state of Washington, like I indicated, then our home state of Florida, and then California rounds out our top three in the U.S. As it pertains to our international listenership, a lot of love came from the United Kingdom, then Kenya, and then Indonesia. Even though Puerto Rico is a Commonwealth of the United States, if you want to count Puerto Rico as overseas, yes, I'll count them. They've been showing us love as well. So thank you to all of you and the entire Second Chance family for all of your love and support. This past Monday, a good longtime friend of mine from high school invited me to a Women's History Month event held via Zoom. The seminar specifically concentrated on the perceptions of beauty and how women of color see themselves, things they do cosmetically to be more attractive, and the long-term health effects of using beauty products made for women of color. Myself, along with the other men that were on the call, were also asked to participate, and we were asked various questions about how we saw beauty in our women, society's perceptions of beauty, and how all of us are influenced by the media's depictions of what is indeed beautiful. Now, my original intent for attending this seminar was really just to be an observer and show love and support and respect for my good friend, for the program that she was hosting, the program that she invited me to, and she was moderating. And by the way, she did an absolutely fantastic job. She did great. I certainly got pulled into a lot of the conversations and perspectives and given my view take on it. So I did not get to just be a friendly observer, but the conversations and perspectives were so very interesting. And the overall theme that I kept hearing throughout the 2.5 hour program was the building of and the sustainment of one's self-confidence. During this seminar, while engaged in the session, I kept thinking about the overall theme of self-confidence and how many of us struggle with self-confidence throughout our lives. Right now, in teaching speech and public speaking, I see my students struggle with the self-confidence to simply get up and speak in front of their classmates. I see people struggle with self-confidence in job interviews. I even see people struggle with the self-confidence in driving to places that they've never been to before, even though we all have GPS systems on our phones that direct us exactly where we need to go. Self-confidence, and I'll start with myself, is something that I, at times, even to this day, have still struggled with. However, even though there's the struggles that come at some points, I still see my progress in this area getting much, much better, because I suppose with age, maturity, and experience, you just continue to sit there and grow and bridge the gap, and you bridge the gap quickly from the unknown in what you can and cannot do to the known and to the confidence that you could sit there and do something better and be something better and show up in that optimal moment. So I guess the gap between the unknown and getting the self-confidence is shorter. It gets to it. We get to it quicker. And I certainly know that, you know, the fear is much more, the fear of the unknown a lot of times is really unwarranted. And bringing that self-confidence is something that just helps you bring your better self to a situation. I could say that my only regret in the area of self-confidence is that I wish I had optimized that superpower of self-confidence earlier in my life. Now, how I grew up, my sister and I did not grow up in an environment in which your individualism or your self-confidence was really nurtured. You know, growing up in a Haitian household, we were more encouraged or raised more so to be obedient, compliant, and staying in line without any pushback or resistance. Now, we were not unique in this environment. This is the way we were raised. It's how my parents knew how to raise us, doing the best they could. And speaking to a lot of our cousins while we were growing up, and even now, our aunts and uncles on both sides of our family did the same thing in raising their children. At the end of the day, it's not an indictment of our parents. It's just the sign of the times. It's the way they were raised. And so they raised us in that way. So I don't blame my parents or hold any bitterness towards them. You know, like I said, it's what they knew. It's the best that they knew how to do with what they had. But growing up in that environment and not having that self-confidence being instilled, the lack of self-confidence really affected me for every area of my life. How I interacted with my peers, you know, women I dated, how I showed up professionally in business environments, you know, my ability to speak in front of folks and advocate for myself. Just to name a few instances, there was such a level of self-confidence that was lacking in so many areas. Now, does that mean self-confidence was completely devoid or completely absent in my life? Absolutely not. My self-confidence was consistent and it was strong. And I had it in situations in which I knew I had the situations at hand, certainly situations where I felt comfortable, and certainly more so for situations that did not call for me to go out of my comfort zone or be uncomfortable, or situations that had a lot of uncomfortable conflict. I spoke about in past episodes how later in my life, my mother ended up nurturing and igniting my self-confidence when I was faced with the onset, the beginning of my criminal justice journey. I remember that at the beginning of my criminal justice journey, I prepared in my mind to, you know, having to defend myself against the worst case scenarios, especially the worst case scenarios when I would be incarcerated, whether it be in jail or in prison. The defense the mindset of having how to know how to defend myself would include having to keep myself mentally together, and if necessary, having to defend myself physically. It's not something that I looked forward to, but it's something that I knew that was going to be necessary. It was more like fight or flight, and when you're incarcerated, there's not much room to flight. So certainly, if I had to fight, that's what it is that I was going to have to do. When I was first transferred from the Tombs in Manhattan to Rikers Island, when I first arrived, we were handcuffed, we were shackled, and while we were waiting as new inmates to be admitted and be processed into Rikers Island, there were inmates who came in from other buses when they were returning from court that day and was watching our admission from the bus windows. And as they were returning from court that day, they felt like their recreation, I guess to let off steam or whatever they wanted to do, was that they were yelling at the loudest voices and in the most threatening dynamics possible. So many violent and vile and just shameless threats against me and a lot of people who were just coming in. I can say this now, at that very moment, and wondering what it is that I was doing here, I was honestly scared. But my budding optimal self-confidence put me in a real place of stoic thought. I knew that the yelling and the violence and the threats were around me, but I just did not make any eye contact. I just looked straight ahead. I did not show any emotion. And I brought myself to the place that if this is going to be the environment that I'm going to be in for however long I'm going to be here, and I have to prepare to physically defend myself, I'm already mentally defending myself by not acknowledging what's going on around me. But if I knew I had to physically fight and defend myself, I was ready to do so if I had to. I certainly want to thank God and thank goodness I never had to fight that day or never at any time while I was incarcerated. Very, very much by the grace of God that happened. So I was thankful for that. But I would say, fast forwarding a little bit, in the last almost 25 years, through various experiences that we've shared on the podcast before, through therapy, just the action of bouncing back from adversity, I've noticed my being confident in this reentry journey really started to increase as I would be willing to take risk. I'd be willing to go the extra mile to get better things and achieve more accomplishments, and admitting mistakes where I made them and learning from them, and doing what I believed was right, even if I was going to be mocked or criticized for it, and I would be standing by myself, advocating for myself. The more I became comfortable being uncomfortable in the outside of my comfort zone, my self-confidence would slowly and surely strongly build. And that could certainly happen for you. As I did my research on self-confidence, I stumbled on this website. And of course, I was multitasking while I was on the Zoom call. On the Zoom call seminar this week. So I was doing this research as I was getting the ideas in my mind and writing notes. I stumbled on this website called thewomensedge.org that highlighted 6 steps to build confidence and being your best self. Now, even though it was on the Women's Edge website, these steps are applicable to everyone. Certainly, I read those, and those steps are applicable to everyone. So let's go through these 6 steps together. So 6 steps in building your confidence and being your best self. Number one, leverage your strengths. When faced with a difficult situation where you lack confidence, one of the best things you could do is to remind yourself of your strengths. Remind yourself of where you're strong. Remind yourself of where you're great. Remind yourself of where you're optimal, rather than being hyper-focused on your weaknesses. Number two, practice gratitude. Like learning any new skill, building your confidence is going to take time. It won't happen overnight. But you start small and you build up as you go. But certainly one of the things that help, and that helps me right now, is a daily gratitude activity. I try to express gratitude in the morning. Maybe write down 3 things at night that you're grateful for. That really does help in building your self-confidence, because when you look at what you're grateful for, what you're thankful for, you really say, wow, my strengths and my superpower abilities are there, and there's a lot that I could that that I'm that I'm thankful for that helps me be strong and be the person and the optimum, the wonderful person that I am, that you are today. Number three, which I love this one, surround yourself with the right people. And, you know, a lot of times I call it your tribe. You know, the small group of people closest to you that you spend the lion's share of your time with. You know, you want to surround yourself with people who are where you want to be and where you want to go. I don't know. Of course, with distance, I don't get to spend as much time with two of my best friends as I possibly do. They both live in different states. But I have to sit there and tell them next time I see them how much I admire them, how much I emulate a lot of the behaviors of what it is that they do. And their confidence and their success and the things which they do really help. I emulate that to say, this is what I want to be. This is how I want to show up in the world. And they are a big influence in that. And not only those two, but there's so many good friends, so many people in my circle, in my tribe, that contribute to that. And one of the things that I know I'll do is I will make sure that I'll continue to tell people in my tribe that what it is that they're doing and the effects that they're having on my life. Number four, keep a feel-good file. You know, with social media and cameras, we always take pictures all the time. So I love to take pictures as well. But every so often, I look through my pictures really to remind myself of everything I achieved in the last 6 months, the last 3 months, or the last year, or where I've been and the memories that are there. As my mother used to say, that the pictures are the mirrors of your memories. And those feel-good moments really are there to sit there and talk strength and talk love into you. So I say keep a feel-good file. Number five, love this as well. Look at fear as a green light. Let me repeat that again. Look at fear as a green light. Although it's really easy to fall in the trap of backing away from the things that instill fear. When I was standing at Rikers Island, if I had the choice, I would have ran. If I had the choice, I would have sat there and ran away if I could. But instead of the things that we back away from that instill fear, we want to refocus or reprogram ourselves to think of fear in a more positive way. Look at fear as that green light. Like if something is going to make me afraid, as soon as I feel it, I want to go right towards it. You know, I leap farther than I want to go. I run faster than I want to do. I lift stronger than I want to do and move forward. Because when I look at that fear, I acknowledge it, then I move past it. Especially when you look through your life and you look back on it, how many times you've been afraid of something that at the end of the day really didn't matter, that it's not something that you should have been afraid of. And number six, be your own best friend. At the end of the day, it's really important to remember to be good to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Show yourself that grace and mercy. You know, especially, once again, I'll emphasize the importance of making mistakes and looking at mistakes and failures in a positive light. I tell my students, I tell clients all the time, and most of all, I have to tell that to myself. Maybe you have to tell that to yourself, that you've learned more from the mistakes that you've made than the accomplishments that you've earned. Certainly be graceful to yourself and know that, you know what? I made this mistake. I forgive myself. Let me dust myself off. That won't happen again, and I'm good with it. And then you sit there and move forward. You know, the bottom line is, when you're building confidence and you're trying to be yourself, best self, it takes practice. It's something that you have to repeat and do all the time. But with time and the right frame of mind, you're going to be well on your way to being more confident in yourself, building that confidence and being your best self. And that's going to be a big key to the ingredient of your success of your reentry journey. It's a big key to the ingredient of success of my reentry journey. So I certainly encourage you to do that. That's a huge, huge component of being successful and really feeling that you're showing up as being your best self in all areas of life, whether it's professional environments, you know, who you date, your ability to advocate for yourself, the ability to show up and be your best self. It's easy when you're a returning citizen to not have that confidence because maybe you're concentrating on the mistakes that you've made, the circumstances that you fell into, the shame that you may feel, and saying that, you know, this is the situation I find myself in. Believe me, I have felt all of those things. But now it's a situation where you say, okay, you know what? I still have a life to live. I'm home. I've been released. Now I have to release myself from the prison of my mind. I have to release myself from the shackles that I put on my heart and say, this is the rest of your life in front of you. Are you going to spend the rest of your life in front of you looking back on what has happened, or are you going to look towards the possibilities of what's in front of you? You know what? I'm always here to be there with you, and let's do it together. I do it every day, and I certainly want to sit there and help you do that as well if that's what you need. I want to thank you as always for sharing your time with me. Thank you for continuing to spread Second Chance Coaching to your friends, family, and loved ones. Keep the listenership going. You know, we have 2 more weeks after this week of season 5. I have a couple of topics that I think that you guys will be interested in as we close up season 5. I thank you again for joining us. You know, certainly, hopefully the schedule's not so bad that we come out on Wednesday like we usually do. Once again, enjoy your Easter weekend. Enjoy Resurrection Sunday. Thank you again for joining us, and I look forward to spending time with you again next week. Thank you again for joining us here at Second Chance Coaching. In addition to coaching services for individuals and businesses, I'm also available for speaking engagements and workshops on criminal justice reentry, human resources, as well as organizational culture and leadership. Feel free to email me at richard@secondchancecoaching.com, as well as connect with me on Instagram at @TheDrRichardLewis. Remember, every day you are given this opportunity for your second chance, and I know you'll make the best of it. I love you all, and I look forward to connecting with you next time here at Second Chance Coaching.